Good morning, church, on Sunday the 13th of September. Good morning, David.
Morning, Rory. Good morning, church family.
It is so good to gather together as God's church in this way, in our own homes, scattered throughout East Kilbride and beyond, but united together in Christ. And we've been focusing on our vision over the last few weeks, a new way of living, following Jesus as we live connected, be transformed, change our world. And we're looking at being transformed this morning. And I see it in my kids every day as they mature, as they learn, as they grow. April picking up new words, climbing all over things. She's really into whispering just now, which is adorable, but quite creepy as well. And Ezra, he's smiling back and he's growing every day. And as Christians, that is us. We are maturing, we're growing, we are learning in faith, being transformed every day. The Christian life is one that is all about the transforming power of God. We were without hope, we were lost, and we are now with hope and have been found. We've been fundamentally changed. We were dead in sin, lost, blind, living in darkness, but we are now alive. We can see we're living in light by God's amazing grace. And we're going to be thinking more about that and the amazing power of God's transformation in our lives through some interviews that we've got with the wider church family. David and I are going to be looking at some scriptures that teach us about God's transforming power. But just now, David's going to share some news with us.
Yeah, thanks, Rory. So, church news this week. Please remember that there is a church meeting this coming Thursday, the 17th of September. And again, that has been circulated through post in terms of how you can log into that meeting. So please remember and join us if you're a church member this coming Thursday night. Restore has also started back. And in these times, if you would like prayer, please book an appointment at Restore, and you can do that through the church office. We continue to pray during these times, and there's an opportunity to do that tonight at 6:30, and join us as a church family to pray, as well as praying on a Wednesday evening also. It's great that we can be together this morning to think about being transformed, and now we're going to hear from Richard, who's going to share from what it means for him as someone as part of the EMBC family to be transformed.
Good morning, EMBC family. Hope you're all doing well. And I have been missing you all throughout lockdown. For those that don't know me, my name is Richard, and I've been coming along to EMBC for the last 2 years. So I started coming along in the summer, so the kind of tail end of July 2018, leading into the August time when obviously a new way of living was introduced. And at that time in my life, I'd came back to church. I'd grown up in church, but gone away from church in my teens, and never really felt good enough for church. And I came back, through circumstances and through people that God put in my path, and I attended EMBC. And within the first couple of weeks was when Mark was delivering the new way of living. And I can honestly say that was the first experience that I've had of the Holy Spirit entering me. And opening up what was inside, because I could feel that every word that Mark was talking about in regards to a new way of living was speaking directly to me where I was at that specific time. It was everything had came together at the right time for me, and so much so that I was absolutely buzzing about it all. I went and picked up everything that I could about it, in particular the new way of living bands, pick them up. I was in work, I was talking to people about it, and a new way of living and living connected and sharing my experience on that one day of the Holy Spirit, but more importantly just the joy and the freedom that it provided me with. And then from there it grew, the friendships and the friendship groups that I've got and being connected with other Christians has just been absolutely fantastic. And be able to use that and share my experience with people that don't go to church has also just been absolutely amazing. And because it's an experience like that, I don't have any fear whatsoever, because I know that Jesus is with me, and I know that the family, the EMBC family that I've connected with, is always going to be with me as well. And that's just a little bit about how the last 2 years have transformed me. This week I've started college, HNC in Christian Counselling, and you know, that would never have happened if I hadn't have came to EMBC, if I hadn't have embraced a new way of living, and if I wasn't living connected today with the friends and the friendship groups that I've got. Just wanted to share that little bit with you. God bless.
Thank you, Richard, so much for sharing how God has transformed you by his Spirit in amazing ways, and is continuing to do so with your studies coming up. Great to hear. We're going to worship God now. Jim and the team are going to lead us in some worship. Before we do that, let's settle ourselves and come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for today. Thank you that we are able to come before you in worship, that we know you as God. Thank you for how gracious, for how patient and merciful you are with us, Lord. I pray that we would know more your transforming power in all of our lives, Lord, as we come before you in worship. Amen.
Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all. This is amazing grace, this is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order, who makes the orphan a son and daughter. The King of glory, the King above all kings, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace, this is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. Thank you. the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Thank you.
Well, thanks to Jim for leading us in that time of worship to God. This morning we're thinking about being transformed, and I would like to share with you from the book of Acts in chapter 9, and later on Rory's going to share from Romans chapter 12. In Acts 9 we read about an amazing story of transformation, the story of Saul, also known as Paul. And for these few moments we're going to think about who was he and who did he become, because he was wonderfully transformed. But who was he? Acts chapter 8 and the first three verses tell us this. Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. But Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. That's who Saul was, and we read more about him in the first two verses in Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. Saul, or Paul, who was he? He was a man who persecuted Christians, who arrested them, who wanted to stop the rise of Christianity and those who were coming to faith. And he was going everywhere to destroy the church. We see the church explode into life in the early chapters in the book of Acts. But we can never forget that during those times there was a great period of persecution against the church. And Saul, Paul, was one of the people who was leading that persecution. Saul, who was he? He was a man who lived his life apart from God. And actually at this point in his life, against God. I think we can relate to that, because we can easily follow and live how we think is best and what suits us apart from God. And we're born that way. That's our default. Born as a fallen, sinful people. And we see this in Paul. We can see it in ourselves. That is who Paul was. But there was hope for Paul, and there's hope for you and me today. Because God can take our failure and our wrong and our brokenness, and he can forgive us and use us. Not because we deserve it, but because God is gracious and merciful. Saul was bad news, but there was hope for Saul. Who did he become? Let's read about his moment of transformation from Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 3. Saul, as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he replied. The Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again." "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name." But the Lord said, "Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength, and Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days. You know, Jesus met Saul just where he was and just as he was. And in verse 17, we see him coming to faith, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus challenges Saul about his life and what he's doing. Why are you persecuting me? And one encounter with Jesus, and Saul's life is changed. You know, God took him and used him to expand the very thing that he was trying to destroy, the church. And as God takes Saul, Paul, and uses him, the message of Jesus, the gospel, goes out. It goes forth. You know, and Paul goes on to spread the good news about Jesus for the rest of his life as he has this transforming encounter with Jesus, and he continues to be transformed. He plants churches. He embarks on three missionary journeys. Saul becomes a transformed follower of Jesus. One day, a persecutor of the church, and the next day, a follower of Jesus. You know, Paul changed so much that people didn't believe him. They didn't believe it was possible that he could be changed, that he could be transformed. We've even read about, you know, Ananias's response. I've heard about this guy. He's trying to arrest Christians and stop the spread of the gospel and destroy the church. But how Paul was transformed when he encountered Jesus. You know, we might think, how could God save a person like that? But God does, because he is loving and gracious and merciful and doesn't want anyone to perish. God is in the business of transforming people's hearts and lives today. Paul knew what it was to have a new way of living. When we looked at who he was and who he came, who he became, from destroying the church to planting churches and sharing the gospel. You know, God takes us as we are, but he wants to transform us to become more like his son, the Lord Jesus. It is fascinating how God used Paul. And at that point, when Paul comes to faith, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Everything that he does for God is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we think about being transformed, we marvel at the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who draws us to Jesus and convicts us of our sin. That's John 16, verses 7 and 8. The Holy Spirit who fills us at conversion. And we've read about that. That's what happened to Saul in Acts 9, verse 17. You know, you cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. And as we continue to grow in our faith, the Holy Spirit continues to lead us, guide us, fill us, and give us spiritual gifts so that the Lord may be glorified. You know, we've heard from Richard and his experience about being transformed. And now we're going to hear from Doris, who is going to share her experience of being transformed.
Well, folks, I'm here with Doris Liddle in her house, and Doris and I are just going to have a little bit of a chat because we're thinking this week about what it means to be transformed. And I know, Doris, 30 years ago, something, or around 30 years ago, something really important happened in your life. Why don't you tell us about that?
Okay. Well, I've been a Christian for 68 years, but 30 years into that 68, I just felt God speaking into me and telling me that there was more to come. But I didn't know what it was, and I kept praying and praying about this, but nothing seemed to happen. And then one time I got this book, second-hand book, the story of Pat Boone's life story. And he was one of my kind of pin-ups, if you like, when I was younger. I thought, right, take this. So reading that book, he spoke about him becoming a Christian. And then he also spoke about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the minute I read that, I knew that this is what I was looking for. This is what God was taking me to this point in my life. But I wasn't quite sure how to go about it. Kept praying about it. And then eventually he brought this young woman into my life who was spirit-filled and lived in the village I lived in. And we had long discussions about it. And then one day when I was sitting in my own home, I just felt this compulsion to race, and race was the word, round to her house, because I wanted this Holy Spirit power in my life. And as she prayed for me, I just felt, oh, it's difficult to explain, but this, they speak of the unspeakable joy of the Lord. And that's what I felt. I can't put it into better words. I just was filled with this tremendous joy. And also as I began to say thank you, this torrent of words came out my mouth that was the Holy Spirit opening my mouth to the holy language and speaking in tongues. And I just could I've never spoken so fast in my life, but it was a wonderful feeling. And then coming back home just a few streets away, I can't even remember touching the pavement. I felt I was walking in air. And even coming home, the feeling just lasted for such a long time, and I just felt so changed and so different and so transformed. And this was what I was looking for, the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And my life has never been the same since that day.
Mm, fantastic. And I know, you know, you talk about just how having the Holy Spirit in your life has made such a difference. But what about particularly over these last 2 years that I know have been challenging for you?
Well, most of you may know that 2 years ago, my husband, I lost my husband to lung cancer. And that same year, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And it just turned out that my husband's funeral was on a Monday. And on the Thursday of that week, I was in Wishaw Hospital where I had a double mastectomy. A few months later, I lost my sister. And so you could look back and think that was the worst year of my life. But I can't leave it like that, because it wasn't, it was in one same ways, it was the worst year, but it was also the best year, which sounds strange to say that. But I have never felt the closeness of God and the Holy Spirit so real in my life. And it was that point in my life when I really had to depend 100% on God. I had to trust him completely. I was lost to self. We do trust God, but we don't always trust him 100%. But I had to throw myself at his mercy and just allow him to just lead me. And during these 2 years, the way he's led me has just been awesome. His blessings are new every morning. And I just feel so blessed and so thrilled at what God is doing in my life. Next year, I'm going to be 80. And I don't worry about that, because I think about Moses. He started his work when he was 80. Mm. So I can't wait to my birthday to see what God's got in store for me in the coming years, because he's such an amazing God and a wonderful God. And I love him with all my heart.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Doris.
Fantastic. Great to hear from Doris there about how God, by his Spirit, brought her to same faith in Jesus and how she experienced that Spirit again all those years later, and how throughout all things, God never leaves us nor forsakes us, and how God's going to be using her when she's 80 and beyond, I'm sure. And hearing from David about the transformation of Saul to Paul. And this transformation isn't a one-off thing, though we continually are transformed or sanctified into the likeness of Jesus as we live at our faiths, seeking God in all things. Paul writes this in Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want to think about two things around the transforming power of God: the Spirit's operation and our cooperation. The Spirit's operation of transformation. That's a mouthful. If you could try and say that, the Spirit's operation of transformation, the work of being transformed, of being made a new creation, of being born again, coming to saving faith in Jesus, and our daily transformation, being refined, being sanctified, is a work of God by his Holy Spirit. Apart from the Holy Spirit, this work of transformation is not happening. Paul writes, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Greek word for renewing here is only used in one other place in the New Testament. And this helps us understand more about the renewing of our mind. Paul uses it again in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. The only other place it's used. In this amazing verse, he says, God saved us, not because of our works done by righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely amazing verse. Titus 3, verse 5. The operation of transformation, of washing, of regeneration, of renewal is a work of the Spirit of God. By God's power, change is always possible, no matter who you are or what you've done. You know, we are a people all about God's transforming power in the lives of fallen people, like Saul, who's breathing out death to Christians, transformed. It's transforming power in my life, a sinner saved by grace. Whoever you are, whatever you might have done, the gospel of Jesus is the power to save and the power to transform. You might be thinking, well, I've totally blown it. I've messed up again. I've messed up for the 1,000th time with the same old sins of selfishness or lust or greed, whatever it might be. You might have conformed to the world. In Jesus, there is hope and there is transformation. You might have walked away for the 19th time. Well, today's the day of transformation in Jesus. Luke 10. By his Spirit, there is hope of transformation. You might have lost your way. You might have lost your focus in lockdown, gotten out of the habits and the rhythms of prayer, seeking God, reading your Bible, looking to him, relying on him. Well, there is change, there is transformation in Jesus. Come to him and be transformed. If you long to break free from the chains of conformity to this world, if you long to be transformed, made new from the inside out, if you long to be free from the checkbox, duty-driven religion, if you long to offer up your whole self as a living sacrifice to God, look to Jesus. Desire with all you are transformation by his Spirit. And this is where the second part comes in. The first part, the operation of the Spirit is transformation. And the second, our cooperation. Look to Jesus. Truly desire transformation by God's Spirit. Give yourself to him this morning. Holy, completely, not holding anything back. As Paul puts it, offer yourself up as a living sacrifice. Paul doesn't just ask this of followers of Jesus. He urges all followers of Jesus to offer themselves up in this way. We are by no means passive or inactive with the operation of transformation by God's Spirit, but we are active. We're invited to cooperate with God, offering ourselves up as a sacrifice, not conforming to the world, but being open to God's will and his purposes and transforming work, cooperating with the transforming operation of God. Just some of the ways that we can do this: filling our mind every day with the truth of the gospel of God's grace of Jesus, that we are saved by reflecting on and thinking about God, his nature, his work, his word, some of the spiritual disciplines that we looked at just before lockdown, reading our Bible, a guaranteed way of hearing God's voice in your life, reading God's word, keeping the Sabbath, fasting, fellowship, studying God's word, reading Christ exalting books, works, hymns, meditating on God, silence and solitude, and of course, pray every day. Let's, with all we are, desire more and cooperate with the transforming operation of God's Spirit. And we're going to hear more about that transforming work of God's Spirit from Pamela just now, who's going to share a little bit about what God's been doing in her life. Hello, church. I'm here with Pamela, who's been coming along to EMBC for 7 years with her wee daughter, Amelia. And she's graciously agreed to share with us a little bit about being transformed. So, Pamela, what does it mean for you to be transformed by God?
Thank you, Rory. And to me personally, being transformed will mean what it will look like for me is I believe and I know in my heart that in the past I suffered from addictions and I couldn't get out of the bit and I couldn't stop drinking for many years. And, you know, I went to a fellowship that introduced me to God. And it took me 10 years, and then I got to a place where I wanted more. And a lady was put in my path, and she came to East Mains, and she told me about a course called Alpha. And I came to Alpha, and it transformed me completely. It was a 12 or 16 week course. Where we spoke about life. We spoke about what was the meaning of life, who was Jesus, and I learned that, you know, I didn't need to bear that big rucksack, if you like, of shame and guilt and remorse, and that if I went to the Lord and I asked for forgiveness, I would be forgiven. And I'd done that because my life was in turmoil. I'd so many things holding me back in life, you know, insecurity and just that low self-worth, low self-esteem, and not having an identity, you know. Mm-hmm. And through doing the Alpha course and learning who I was in God, mm-hmm. and that I was a precious child of God, and I had been forgiven. And for me, you know, today I'll just be driving along in my car, and you know, and I thought it'll come. And it'll take me back to what it used to be like. And who I am today, I do not recognise sometimes who I am today, because who I was isn't who I am today. And what I mean by that is I need to pinch myself sometimes, because I think, you know, because through reading his word and through good, you know, I've got an amazing friends that walk with me. I've got a mentor in church, you know, and through lockdown I've been studying the Bible, and every single day I go to the Bible now and it's coming alive. And through that I feel I'm being transformed, you know. And God's heart, you know, I get a little small bit of that. I feel it, and, you know, and he's pruning me. You know, and we talk about being transformed, and I don't believe it's an overnight matter, or it happened when I get baptised. And through the years, even now, I've got challenges in life where he's shown me where I need to be healed, still healed from my past, and being transformed. And, you know, I'm a different person because I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. And he's with me every day, and I feel him in my workplace, I feel him in my family home, I feel him all around me. You know, I pray every day to the Holy Spirit. He fills me afresh. He gives me words. gives me eyes to see, you know, and I'm able just to look out and see where he needs me. And then in a different given day, you know, and the joy of the Spirit is within me, and I know, because I know and I experience and I feel it, and, you know, and I radiate love to others, because that's who I am in Jesus. I am love, pure love. And what an honour it is to be part of, you know, East Main Baptist Church. And, and, you know, I'm just very, very blessed be part of such an amazing church. Thank you.
God bless you, Pamela. That was amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Thank you, Pamela, for sharing your testimony about God's transforming power in your life and how you have been so changed by Him and His Spirit at work in your life, and how He's going to be continuing to use you in amazing ways. Let's now, as a church, take some time to respond to what we've heard through God's word, to what we have sang to God in worship, to the interviews that have been shared of knowing and experiencing God's transforming power. Let's take a minute to reflect on these things, to think about what God is saying into our lives, and then I'll pray and finish with reading a hymn for us. Let's reflect now. Lord, you're a God of transformation. We have been completely changed by your power, by your grace, by Jesus and your Spirit, Lord. We were dead in our sin, without hope, and you have raised us to life. Saul was breathing out death and wanting Christians destroyed. And one encounter with you and changed him, and he was breathing out life. And he was all about lies, and after you're at work in his life, he was all about truth, Lord. I pray that we would know more the extent of your transforming power in our lives, that we would be open to the work of your Spirit, that we would cooperate with you. Forgive us of the times when we've conformed more to the world, Lord. And we pray for transformation in our lives today. For those of us who are struggling, who in lockdown we've fallen out of habits of prayer, of relying on you, of looking to you, of reading your word, of hearing your voice through your word in our lives. Lord, we pray for transformation by your power, by your Spirit in our lives, as we offer up ourselves as a living sacrifice to you. Lord, renew our minds, we pray. Amen. I'll read this hymn for us just now, and if we can maybe just keep our eyes closed and really just listen and take in the words of this hymn. May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through his power. May the peace of God, my Father, rule my life in everything, that I may be calm to comfort sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea. Him exalting, self abasing, this is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave, to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win. And may they forget the channel, seeing only him. I pray that this would be so in all of our lives. Jim is now going to lead us in some worship.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. Thank you, Rory, for everyone who's been involved in our service today. And thank you so much for tuning in. I trust that we'll be encouraged this week to think more about what it means to be transformed by the Lord through his Spirit.
Absolutely. And there's an opportunity to cooperate with the operation of transformation tonight between 6:30 and 7:30 to join as a church family in prayer over Zoom. If you've never joined that before, get in touch with the staff team or Al, and we will send you the details to join that. Well, God bless you, and I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with us all.